NHS providers. We're the membership organisation for NHS hospital, mental health, community and ambulance services.
I'm Saffron Caudry, I'm Deputy Chief Executive at NHS Providers, and I'm delighted to be talking to Melanie Walker, who is the co-chair of our Mental Health Leaders Network, and she's also Chief Executive of Devon Partnership. Today we've been talking about all sorts of positives and negatives and what needs to change around mental health, but what do you think the progress from the sector has been in recent years, and where do you see the innovations and transformations coming from?
So having stepped out of the mental health world for a while and coming back in about 5 years ago, what's really struck me is how different the dialogue is, both within the sector but actually nationally, in the public, political discussion too. And we shouldn't underestimate that, because that's been after many years of campaigning and advocacy coming from the sector. And what that means, as well as many other places, obviously, and most particularly people with lived experience, but what that means is that that then improved the dialogue of mental health and then given a space for a proper discussion about investment and challenges around the provision of good care, and indeed what is good care. So that's the overall environment feels better. And then one of the things that always strikes me, particularly in our network events, is how much innovation there is going on across the country in very, very different ways, and most particularly in co-production with people who use or have used services and the people who support them. So there are all sorts of specifics which we probably haven't got time for today, but if you look at things like the developments in the delivery of perinatal mental health care, the delivery of liaison psychiatry, and that's actually liaison mental health care in acute hospitals, where we begin to look at how people's whole lives are considered, and also the work in the community around supporting people to have good lives and enabling them to have as much control of their lives as they can at that time. So all of those things, and I could talk for hours about it.
And how do you think that greater understanding, you talked about the dialogue changing and there's a better level of discourse really, how do you think that we can use that better understanding to start to overcome some of the challenges that stand in the way of better services?
Mm-hmm. So I think there's some obvious and simple stuff. So the huge amount of work that's happened, supported by politicians, senior policy leaders, around additional investment, we shouldn't underestimate. But also that the discussion with people with lived experience about what services look like. So if I think of an example in my patch, in perinatal care, that women who had used or had needed services and not always been able to access them because they weren't available, but had used services and wanted them to be different, have been absolutely at the heart of the design of our services once we received funding. And the feedback we get from women who now use those services is that they feel safe, they feel supported, they feel that the services are relevant to their experience and really, really enable them. And inevitably, we have one or two women who have experience of being having perinatal mental health problems before we had services, and after in different pregnancies, etc. And the dialogue with them about how different that feels is extraordinary.
I'm certainly always struck when I visit a perinatal mental health unit how actually the focus is so immediately on recovery and leaving the unit, that it's a very positive and therapeutic environment.
And I think that those services have a lot for us to learn from across the mental health and indeed the physical healthcare, because a lot of it is about holding hope in order to support people in recovery. And sometimes people with mental health, women with mental health problems, are very, very unwell indeed.
So what do you think the opportunities are for the mental health sector this year and beyond? Where do you think we're headed?
So It's always challenging in the NHS and social care, isn't it? I can't remember not having a year when everything is going to be really challenging this year. But I do think it's going to be challenging for the next few years. But in that is always opportunity. And the opportunity, I think, is for us to enable in the dialogue around integrated care is to make sure that people with mental health problems benefit from that integration. So we know that people with mental health problems have poorer health, physical health outcomes than their peers who don't have mental health problems. So there's an opportunity in there. So are people accessing screening, obesity reduction programs, smoking reduction programs, etc., in the way they should, in order that the physical health of people with mental health problems is given sufficient attention? But also, do we make sure that people who are in sort of enter the health service or the health pathways, if you like, through the physical health route, so people have cancers, diabetes, etc., have their mental health care attended to too? Because we know that those people, a huge percentage of them, have unmet mental health needs. And the bottom line, a bit like you and I this morning, didn't wake up and leave to come to this event and say, am I having a physical health day or a mental health day? Actually, we're just people having a day, and some days it's a good day and some days it's a not a good day. And actually, you know, we need to look at people, not just diagnosis or what we think or the presenting problem. And I think we've got a lot to offer as a sector into that dialogue. I think the other bit too then is how do we share our experience of working in the community, really good partnership working, integration, which we've done for quite a long time, the stuff that gets called social prescribing now that actually mental health and learning disability providers have been doing for a long time, and the empowerment of people with lived experience to define what that social prescribing might be, but also to define services. So I think we've got a huge opportunity to make a difference.
And finally, what makes you most excited about the future?
Well, I suppose in a way it's the stuff we've just touched on, that actually more, you know, so if I think about how I entered the service in the NHS, which was a little while ago, and I trained as a general nurse, so, you know, there are a few dinosaurs roaming the earth still. But actually, there was no real dialogue about people with mental health problems. There was, you know, asylums were still as they were. I really am very old. But actually, that we now have the fact that dialogue has changed. And I think of the parallels with cancer, in that in the 1960s it was shameful to have cancer. There was a stigma about it. People died because they didn't raise it. And we know that's not entirely resolved, but it is largely resolved. And the advocacy for the early detection, treatment and support of people who have a cancer or potentially have a cancer is vast now, and I have a hope that we're much further down, much further back in that journey, but that we are on that journey, and perhaps I hold the hope that we will get there, that one day the amount of research money that's invested in mental health care is has parity with cancer and cardiovascular services, that we talk in the same ways about it. There are as many events to raise money for those services. So I think the dialogue's really, really important, and we shouldn't underestimate that.
Melanie, thank you very much, and for everything you do.
Thank you.
You can subscribe to our Spotify and Apple podcast platforms to keep up to date with future podcasts, or follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn by simply searching NHS Providers.